If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But I mean, the French, they lost their land. Like, the fact the work castles, they lost their land to Cromwell. And then they jumped over again. I mean, you can't blame them for jumping. I mean, religion won't put food on the table. But I mean, they were pretty good. I mean, they were pretty good people, the Frenches, from all I could know.
This is the story of two big houses, one in Russia and one here in Monivet, County Galway.
Oh, you want me to tell you?
I do. Yeah, huh? You're the best person to tell us, Seamus.
I'm the best person to tell. Yes. Why do you say that now?
Because you know so much about the family. You know more than anybody else does.
They were one of the 14 tribes of Galway, anyway.
We begin around 1850 with Robert French.
There was two tears in the community, you know. He didn't go down to the pub for a jar with the boys or anything like that. It was a different class structure, like, but he was well respected, we'll say.
You mentioned earlier, and I think it sounded very exciting, the times when things were great at Monivet, when there were balls and picnics on the lawn.
And shooting parties.
Shooting parties,
yeah.
Yes.
There used to be wonderful shooting parties and hunting. My father used to stay there after a day's hunting and lots of other people.
Did he? I don't remember that because we didn't.
He said the most wonderful experience was after a day's hunting to go upstairs and there was a bath filled in front of a fire.
Wonderful.
Yeah, big cans of boiling water in front of a roaring fire. No such comfort these days.
When Robert French was sent to Russia as a member of the British diplomatic service, he left his younger brother, Atchison, to look after his domain in Monivet. Robert married a Russian heiress called Sofia Kindiakov, and they had a daughter, Kathleen, who was raised on the huge family estate on the Volga. Back in Monivet, Atchison also had a daughter, Roz.
Rosmond grew up here as almost the heiress of the domain. The technical owners of it were her uncle Robert French and her cousin Kathleen, but they were several thousand miles away on the banks of the Volga in Russia, and Rosamond grew up as the lady of the manor, and she appears to have been very popular amongst the tenants and the people of the village. She appears to have been a caring landlady, and she never married.
My mother even often used to talk about when she was little, kids from the village used to go down for birthday parties. Rosamond would bring all the kids down and have parties, you know. So she was very popular, I'd say. Yeah.
Could you give us any idea of what she looked like?
In her youth, she was a very elegant lady. She was very beautiful. And as she grew older, she maintained her dignity and elegance. Even in her old age, she was a very dignified, elegant old lady. She was always elegant. I don't know how tall she was. It's hard to tell from the photographs, but she was slender and she looked slender and elegant. She could have been a model, almost. Her hair was blonde, and I think it was long because in some of the pictures it's up. I'm sure as she got older it would have been shorter, but it's I suppose she lived up to her station in life, almost. She was She was looked well cared for, well looked after.
In the 18th century, Patrick French, a barrister known as Silvertongue French, consolidated the family fortunes. Finding under the penal laws that he couldn't prosper as long as he remained a Catholic, he embraced Protestantism, cementing his new position by marrying a bishop's daughter. Thus, by careful husbandry and judicious coupling, the Frenches were able to buy back the Monivet domain which had been taken from them by Cromwell. Some 200 years later, Robert French followed suit and married wealth. So this leaflet says, Robert married Sophia, only child of Alexander de Kindiakov, a Russian noble.
He's a gentleman that we know nothing about.
A Russian noble of, we do know this maybe, a Russian noble of great wealth with seven estates on the Volga River.
Sounds nice.
Seven estates, yeah.
It didn't do her any good in the end.
Not in the end.
But do you think that Robert, having come from the great estate of Monivet, felt quite at home then in Russia?
Yes, probably.
Minute little castle he had in County Galway.
But lots of servants.
No, indeed. I wouldn't think so. Not at Monivet.
There wouldn't be. I mean, it was a small...
Yeah, the whole...
Small castle.
He didn't have much money. I wouldn't have thought.
No.
He married money.
Married
he
well.
Made wealth.
While Monivet was prospering, the Russian estates were doing even better, sowing the seed of rivalry between the two cousins, Roz and Kathleen. Kilometres east of Moscow, along the banks of the Volga River, lies the city of Simbirsk. Robert French's wife was a member of the very wealthy Kindiakov family from Simbirsk.
And the district we are passing by, officially called Railway District of the city, but nobody in the city call it like this. It's called Kindiakovka. And though the city have not seen anybody from the Kindiakov family for at least 90 years. So now we are driving through lands which used to belong to Kathleen. So at that time, her estate was outside the town, which was, of course, much smaller. And now we are driving through all her lands, and the lands were huge.
We're going through land, as Irina has told us, which was once owned by the Kindiakov family. But it's very different now. It's a four-lane highway, even five as I look at the car going ahead of us. And then parallel with that, there is a dual track for a tram up one way and down the other. And just across there's the usual, you know, bushes and trees and so on. And beyond that, there's the main railway line. So it's very, very different from what it would have been during Kathleen's time. So we've turned off that main three-lane highway. One of the things I forgot to mention was that where the little tram was passing, there was an unmanned crossing with just a lovely little blue and white railway station, a railway house, I suppose, which was the guard probably lived, because you have to lift up the barrier for the cars to go across. So we've left the main road and we've now turned off into what looks to me like a very small village with some of these lovely, lovely, well, I call them dachas, little one-story timbered houses, though I can see that they're also having added onto them brick rooms, extensions. And got past somebody. Big pile of logs, of course, and somebody working there chopping them up. A very large pile of logs. And we're driving along an unmade road now with these old wooden houses, traditional houses on each side. And there's workers. Somebody's bringing home a lot of, it looks like to me, scrap metal. Somebody else is coming out with a pail of water. So we're going back in time just a little bit now, which is great. I'm starting to get excited about coming back to where the family used to live. We're coming to the main entrance now, where somebody has got to, a man with them. The Kindiakova family, have they been, were they here for a long time? Do they go back? in history?
I think yes. Maybe for 3 or 4 centuries. They were among the richest families in the region.
And apart from owning the land, how did they become rich?
I think land, it was the only way of being rich in Russia of that time.
So we're at the moment we're standing in a really lovely area. I can look out across and see the Volga River, which to me looks like a sea because it is so huge. As far as the eye can see water, which is amazing. How wide is the Volga River at this point?
Here, because it's in the city, it's 2 kilometers in order for us to be able to cross it, because there are some part of the city is on the other side of the river. And about 50 kilometers from here, we have a village, and there the width of the Volga River is 40 kilometers. And actually, it's the dam, it's water storage. It used not to be like this. And about like 50 years ago, a dam was built, and it became that wide because it flooded many villages and many fields.
And so the Kindiakov family is a lovely place to live, obviously, and we're surrounded by lovely beech, silver birch trees, and protecting us from the sun. It's not too hot at the moment, but it obviously will get hotter later on. Was this a good place to live for them? They're quite far out from the town.
It is not far from the town. And silver birch trees are typical. It's a symbol of Russia. And it was typical for the town to be built on the hill facing the river, because going by river, you could trade with other towns and just you can move along the river. And it was one of the fastest, maybe fastest, because by horse it will be, it will take much longer to go. And it used to be like this, to have your dwelling right in this kind of place.
But then because Kathleen's family were big landowners in the area, did they have many houses? Did they have a lot of land both in the city and outside?
Yeah. As far as I read, yeah, they had several, because the village we are going tomorrow, Taringa, they used to have the mansion, and it's quite 70 kilometers from here.
Though Kathleen was born into this world of aristocratic privilege, it wasn't long before a dark cloud appeared over the Kindiakov estate.
And as I know from letters, very soon there was some misunderstanding in the family. I know for sure that her parents did not divorce legally, but they split. They lived in different countries. Her father, Robert Percy, was a diplomat, and he served in different countries of Europe. And her mother, from that time, she lived in Kindiakovka and did not leave it. At that time, Kathleen was 6 or 7 years old.
So Kathleen found herself living alone with her mother because her father was often absent.
He appears to have been something, at least, of a womanizer. So he may have been deeply enamored of her when he married her, and the novelty wore off, or they fell out of love, or upper-class men in those times may have had a different set of morals from the rest of us anyway, and, you know, a wife was the child bearer and the mistresses were the entertainment. We don't know whether he had one or more mistresses either. We know there were at least one.
Although Kathleen's father was living apart from his family, he took his paternal duties very seriously. Here's a letter he wrote to Kathleen from Paris in 1879 when she was 15.
My dear Kathleen, I am at a loss to understand this silence. It is quite 3 weeks since I have heard from you, and I have repeatedly ordered that you are never to be a fortnight without writing to me. Your affectionate father.
Nevertheless, father and daughter got on well, and Robert sometimes took Kathleen all the way from central Russia to Monowe, which one day she would inherit.
Dear Grandma, before we leave Ireland, Papa wants to take me to see the lakes of Killarney. I will spend tonight with Rosamond. I'm still very delighted with Monowe, but I don't think I could spend the future or lead a life of pleasure here. Your devoted granddaughter, Kathleen.
So here we have two girls, Roz in Monowe and Kathleen coming from Russia. But what can Roz have thought of her exotic cousin, who was fluent in three European languages, whose father was the elder French son in line to inherit Monowe, while our own father, Atchison, who, as master of the Galway Blazers, spent more time riding to hounds than attending to the domain. Kathleen's grandfather gave her one of his large Russian houses, which stood in fine parkland a few kilometres outside Simbirsk. Thus, at the age of 20, Kathleen took the first steps in becoming a major landowner.
When she
inherited this land, it was quite poor, and it took her much time and energy and much money to restore everything and to make this land make profit.
Она совершенно ничего не понимала в сельском хозяйстве. И, конечно, она не знала, получится ли у нее что-нибудь.
She did not understand anything. She didn't know anything about agriculture. And she never knew whether it would work out or not.
Она всю жизнь поддерживала отношения со своим отцом, Робертом Перси Френчем. Она была с ним в переписке.
She kept in touch with her father, Robert. They corresponded with each other.
И сохранились письма. Кэтлин к ее отцу и ответы Роберта.
And there are letters from Kathleen to Robert Percy and back from Robert Percy to Kathleen.
Отец советовал ей познакомиться с помещиками симбирскими.
So her father advised her to get acquainted, to make ties with the local landlords, and to take their advice, to take the ways of cropping, of doing agricultural work from them. To take their example.
По сути дела, Кэтлин всю жизнь посвятила,
And Kathleen devoted all her life to land. She was always working, and only in winter she had some free time to rest.
Ну, как правило, на зимние месяцы она отправлялась путешествовать с отцом.
So, and in winter she usually spent her time in Europe together with her father. They went to Italy, to France, to Ireland.
Большую часть времени она, конечно, проводила здесь, в Кендяковке. Хотя всегда мечтала.
She spent most of her life here in this estate in Kendiakovka, but sometimes she dreamt to go to Ireland and to spend her old age in Monowe.
One of the seven Russian estates which Kathleen was to eventually inherit was Terengah, and we drove the 70 kilometres to where the governor there was waiting to greet us.
Мэри. Mm-hmm. Ну, вопросик задать вот по корням. Все-таки хотелось бы выяснить, в Ирландии остались корни.
Do you have the Percy French, representative of Percy French family still living in Ireland?
We do, yes.
Есть
quite a few, and they all want to know about our journey.
По архитектурному облику, если посмотреть сверху, то архитектор его...
It's a two-storied building, and on the first floor there were the kitchen, the dining room and bedrooms, and on the second floor there was some ball halls and some reception rooms for the guests. Every year they held big fairs here. So and for the 3 days of the fairs, they got the yield, which will then feed the villagers for the whole year. And you may get, so you may understand how important the mansion was and the landlady and her management style was for the region.
Князья Голицыны.
Until Kathleen came along, the workers on this estate had a very hard time.
Связаны родственными узами.
So the relative of the Percy French family, Alexander Skrabitsky, who lived there in the times of serfdom, so he built everything on the estate except the house. So all the stables, all the fields, all the buildings. So he was very authoritative type of a manager. So and he used to say that I'm here and a guard and a czar all in one. And he moved his, he urged his workers to work hard. And he built everything, the church, the stable, all the houses and all agricultural buildings. He enjoyed sitting on the balcony of this house and looking around through binoculars. And so, and he punished severely those who did not work if he saw that somebody was not working. And here in the cellar of the house, there are some hooks where they were executed, those who were idle bones. And when Kathleen Percy French inherited this house, to the villagers, she was a real angel in comparison to that demon Alexander Skribitsky, because she did much for the charity, for the community. She opened the library. She fed the poor when there was some hardships, and she employed more people. She opened workshops and so providing jobs for some of them. Just come in a couple of years and you'll have a building changed.
Таких потолков не осталось практически в России в том первозданном виде. Вот мы даже говорим, акустика какая. Вот там слышно.
No way could you find in Russia the ceilings like this and the acoustics like this.
We've been joined now by two little boys from here. I'm going to ask them if they know anything about the Kindiakov family or even about this house.
К нам подошли два мальчика. Я хочу спросить их, они знают что-нибудь о семье Киндиакова?
No. And what about this big house? Have they been in here before? And do they know anything at all about it?
А вы были до этого в этом здании? Что-нибудь знаете об этом доме?
Говорят, привидение тут бывает. Привидение бывает.
People say that there is a ghost here.
Probably is, yeah. But not all ghosts are bad. Some ghosts are good. And what about his friend over there? Is he?
Они увидели, что двери открыты, решили проверить, есть ли здесь привидение.
He doesn't know anything. They saw that open door and come inside to find any ghost. Maybe there's some.
Yeah. We're the ghosts. While Kathleen's Russian estates were prospering, Monavay was in decline. And then two things happened which changed everything. In 1896, Robert French, Kathleen's father, died, and as a result, she inherited Monavay. Kathleen embarked on a project that would take 9 years to complete, the building of a magnificent and ornate mausoleum on the Monavay estate, in which her father's body would be interred. The doings of the French family were regularly covered by the Tomb Herald. Here's what the paper said when Kathleen returned to Monavay to oversee the completion of her father's mausoleum.
Miss French, owner of Monavay, is an extensive landed proprietor in Russia, where she permanently resides. She has come to Ireland in response to an invitation from the tenants for the purpose of selling them some land in the Monavay estate and in dividing the grazing lands between them.
The paper goes on to describe the crowd of tenants waiting at the great gates of Monavay, their lighted torches held high, ready to escort Kathleen to the doors of the castle. The paper was disapproving of the high number of police in evidence, which it felt unnecessary, though there had been fears that people from the Land League might stage a counter-demonstration. In fact, there were loud cries of "Land for the people" from among the crowd, but that was the height of the revolt. It was at this point that the issue of the sale of Monavay land contributed to the growing coldness between Kathleen and her cousin Roz. Roz had lived her whole life on the Monavay domain and now felt threatened. That same week, here's what the Tomb Herald had to say about Roz.
Miss Rosamond French, daughter of our esteemed and popular neighbour Atchison French of Monavay Castle, is at present interesting herself in Dublin. This gifted and accomplished young lady has devoted her talents and time to helping her fallen fellow creatures and enabling them to lead useful and decent Christian lives.
But the good times for Kathleen in Simbirsk couldn't go on forever. In 1917, the Russian Revolution began.
One after another, all my country places were wrecked. Pictures, furniture, plate, documents, clothes. Then some of the houses were burnt or pulled down and the woods destroyed. All the cattle, horses, machinery included. I had just time to throw on some clothes when we were hustled about in the most odious manner, 20 fellows pointing their revolvers at us and yelling. I was kept 4 days on the floor with various miscreants, and then marched off to prison between 2 soldiers and locked up with every description of malefactor, such as thieves, street girls, and murderers. There were 3 or 4 ladies besides myself, so that was some consolation.
It's a terrible irony that the revolution which deprived Kathleen of much of her wealth had its beginnings in Simbirsk, because it's here that Lenin was born. After her release, Kathleen travelled back to her estate in Monive, where she found her cousin Roz less than welcoming.
I have lived through one revolution and don't have the heart for another.
Kathleen moved on to Harbin in Manchuria, where she joined some other white Russians and lived there a life of comparative luxury until she died in 1938. Kathleen's body, in a zinc-lined coffin, was brought 4,000 miles from Manchuria across the Russian wastes until 6 months later it arrived at the mausoleum on the Monive estate. Did either of you go to the funeral? Did you go to the funeral?
Yes, and there's a photograph of us going up to the door of the mausoleum. Not many, very few. Uncle Hubert, my godfather, and me, and grandparents, and my father. I wouldn't have thought more than about a dozen.
Well, my parents were probably at the funeral. We would have been in school.
Yeah. But whether you were in the group that the photograph is of, probably not. I must show it to you. No, she was just somebody I never was at all interested in until recently. There was no reason, except that it was sad to go back. So she must have had an awful lot of money to spend, Kathleen. First of all, to build that mausoleum and bring home our father in a lead coffin, and subsequently she was brought home. The very sad thing about this story is that nobody else remembers. There's nobody of our vintage who has any memories.
Was it your grandfather also looked after the estate at Monive?
My father. And he went there, poor man, to collect the rents and...
Horrible. Not a happy job.
Yeah, not a very happy job. And I don't think he looked forward to it. And then perhaps he'd come down from Meath to have a day's hunting in Galway and back to his Mount Hazel where his parents lived, my grandparents. But I don't think he enjoyed coming down at all or going to Monive. It was an arduous job.
Well, did he manage the farm?
Yeah.
Because they had all these cattle. I remember they were bulls, Aberdeen Angus bulls, and really? There were lots of gates as you went up the avenue. Yeah. And there was always a fight which of us would have to get out and open the gate because we were afraid of the bulls, you know. But so he was also in charge of the forestry.
I don't never heard anything about him doing anything about the forestry. My brother Peter would know that.
No, but he. Because my father told us that your father, he was quite knowledgeable about trees because he used to talk to my father about trees. And some of the trees, they needed cutting because they were old and they would fall on good trees. And he apparently wrote to Kathleen and said that some of the trees needed cutting.
Yeah.
And she wrote back and said, cut one tree and your job is finished. And Rosamond must have told my father that story because otherwise he wouldn't have known it.
Yes, because there were lovely trees, huge number of forestation here.
Although Kathleen had allowed Ros to live at Monive, the estate was in decline. masonry was crumbling, and Roz, now in her 70s, was forced to live in one room surrounded by fading photos of her father. And worse was to come.
So she must have been had an awful lot of money to spend, Kathleen.
And you see, she didn't leave a penny to Rosie. I mean, she left the castle, the estate, to indigent school teachers. The government didn't honour that.
No, they said they couldn't afford that.
Yeah.
10 indolent school teachers.
Why do you think there was so much dissension between the two women, between Rosie and Kathleen?
I don't know actually how much there was. After all, she was left there to live, and presumably she had something to... Thanks to Kathleen, she had something to live on. Did she have...
Very little, I think. I think she was pretty hard up, Rosie.
And as I say, I loved Ros, and she'd be always fun. And this very chesty, awful throat she had from all the smoking, husky voice.
My connection with the French family is that I found myself doing poorly for Miss Rodmond. She was asthmatic, and she wasn't able to push the lawnmower or pull it. And I had to do both for her. I had to push her and pull her, if you like. Now, she was very bossy in her way. But she hadn't a lot of money, it seems. And she had no shout in the operation of any of the activities down in the castle. But she was a fine frame of a lady. She had a beautiful carriage, a very nice person to talk to, and very good to kids.
Would you say that the French family, were they good landowners?
There was no such thing as a good landlord. They came in here and they acquired our country under the plantation and rebellion. And that, to me, was something that I always resented. And something that I always will resent. Because my father took part in the rising of 1916 and were patriotic to the core. So we never had really much time for the landlord or their associates. But fair play where it's due. The French, well, you could tolerate them in the society. And I thought they were very nice people.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well, how are you?
Hi. Are you
Mr.
Kelly?
I am.
How are you?
Not too bad.
I'm Mary Russell.
Yes.
And we're from RTE.
Yes.
We're making a radio programme about Monivet.
And I wonder, is there any feeling now that we're talking about Monivet in its heyday and what great landlords they were and that kind of thing? Is there any feeling of regret now about all that that's gone?
The fact that they're gone?
Well, and that lifestyle is gone as well.
Not really. I say you can't live in the past. You've got to move on. I mean, if we couldn't be a subservient community all our life. You've got to move on. We've got our independence. So you can't live in the bygone days. Gotta be progressive. Look to the future.
Do you think that was what was contributed to the downfall of the house? The fact that the political changes in Ireland at that time?
Well, I mean, if you look at the time, you're looking at you had the War of Independence, then you had the Civil War here. There was land agitations here. People wanted their land. I mean, they gave up their land free of will. I mean, at no cost to the state. They gave it over free. But I mean, they had a good running. I mean, they were here from 1600 to 1630 to 1930. They were here for 300 years. So, I mean, they had a good run out of it. Can't complain. If we,
If a family can live 200 years in one area, they have nothing to complain about. They're in Monavay for over 300. They would have been in Monavay over 300 years. They would have been in Gaulish. I mean, they're Irish. I mean, they're even though they're like, they would be Anglo-Irish, but they actually are Irish. I mean, if you're long enough living in an area, you'd be Irish. I classify them as being Irish. Myself, I classify them as being Irish.
Including Kathleen, who was born in Russia?
Well, I don't know. I mean, she came up, well, she still looked at it at her home. I suppose she had nowhere else to go. That time she came back. I mean, she had to feel something towards it. She didn't, I suppose, if she wanted, she could have sold it off and lived in on the continent, but she said she used to refer to it as her bog garden. That's the way she used to term, describe one of her bog garden, small compared to what she had in Russia. It was only 2,000 acres, but she used to refer to it as her bog garden. 2,000 acres. But I mean, she must have had some inclination or love for the area that she came back. I mean, she could have sold it, she could have lived on the continent, but she came back. So, I mean, I think they have to be Irish. That's all I can tell you about them now, yeah.
Roz died in 1939, and that was the end of the French family in Monavay. Roz had challenged Kathleen's will and managed to have it overturned, but to no avail. She herself died 3 days earlier.
Well, just now we're in the Monavay Wood, naturally enough, but we're approaching the mausoleum where Kathleen French built this mausoleum, and seemingly she wanted it built in the heart of a wood, the woodlands, and it to be surrounded by wood at all time. And we can just see it in front of us here at the moment. It's a lovely mausoleum, of course, one of the best in Europe, I do believe, and it has been built in roughly over 100 years now.
It's much bigger. Looking at it now, I had expected a mausoleum. I thought it would be something maybe 10 or 12 feet high, but this is much bigger than that. And it's got battlements, what looked like battlements across the top. So it looks as if it's part of a castle. It's really very, very imposing. Yeah. So are you going to let us go in?
Well, yeah, I'll give you the pleasure of opening the door now.
Oh, great.
Into the Kathleen French's chapel. You can see there's a lovely altar here, and behind the altar you have again another nice window with little angels and our Lord in the middle, and it's facing naturally enough towards the east like all churches.
We certainly have enough of flies down here, anyhow, you know. But we don't throw stone steps. Now, we're here, as you can see, down in the basement. We have come down the spiral stairs there, and we can see two coffins here. I suppose this is the smaller one is Kathleen's, and the other one is the big man himself.
But this would have come, this came 4,000 miles across from China, from Manchuria across Russia, and all the way here to Monavay.
So I hope this is a fulfillment of your journey in trying to find out all about Kathleen French. If you're going to the end of your tether to find out where the body rests, then well, I think this is it.
Even now, here we are, we're standing in the semi-darkness here, and voices are echoing as well in the vault. But shining down onto her lead coffin is a very small square window of light, because, of course, we're in the basement of the mausoleum. So there's just up above us, there's a very small window, and I know that outside that window there is one last place that we have to visit in order to bring this story to its close.
It's a very strong door all the time. So now do you want to visit?
Yeah.
So now, as you can see, we're just outside the mausoleum. And just outside the mausoleum, we have Rosamond French, first cousin to Kathleen inside, and died in 1939. She's laid to rest just outside. There's a nice headstone. She's just over. And we often wondered why she's not inside with the others, but that's the way. Family quarrels, I suppose, or something. So she's, I suppose, as peaceful there anyhow as she might have been inside.
I'm struck by the beech, tall beech trees here and the moon shining just beyond them and the light fading now from the sky.
Yeah, we have some beech and ash planted all around here, and we have only recently planted more just there too during the summer. It amazes me how they're still growing, so it'll all be a few years, I suppose, be a very nice place, you know.
Is that
the Marine Hill Beach?
It's not mountain ash, what I call
no,
it.
No, no, it's one. Not, no. And probably you aren't allowed to be good either in the medicine or to be good for her reason.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.